So, this is podcast number 2. We'll see how this goes. So some of you may or may not have figured out that I was in a band. A little band called Necktie Suicide. Probably doesn't mean anything to you, and that's fine. You can enjoy it pretty much anywhere online. iTunes, Spotify, any streaming service. Go give it a listen if you feel like it. It's a lot of Cookie Monster style stuff. So, the story of this band goes like this. At least from my perspective, if you ask the other boys, you'll get a different answer from each one. Because, well, everybody, like life, everybody has their own, perceptions, visions, stories, and what have you. Now, this band had been around for not quite a year yet, and they had a vocalist who, for lack of a better term, was just being uninspired at the moment. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. It happens to the best of us. And I was, golly gee, I was 26 at the time. I'd been in one other band other than this. Well, no, I take that back. We can call it two. Because both of them did play outside of the practice spot. Can't really call yourself a band if you don't just get up there and do it. So, unbeknownst to me, this band is, well, it's not just your average, it's just not an average band. It's four of the finest musicians that I've ever played with in my life. And, I think I'd fight anybody to the death about that statement. You've got one member who memorized a 14-piece movement by Rachmaninoff, for crying out loud, and he's playing the bass. So, if that tells you anything about the level of talent in that band, they didn't need me to play an instrument. Though, I do dabble in percussion a little bit, for those of you who don't know. So, in the year of 2005, we were interviewed by a local magazine called the High Plains Reader. And one of the most interesting quotes, I think, that the writer wrote was, "Necktie Suicide is why you should never give up on heavy music, even when heavy music has given up on you." Now, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know, maybe the guy's right. Maybe he's not. Who knows? We were just a band from Fargo, North Dakota. We're just five guys playing loud, aggressive music. Oh, geez, guitars being thrown and bloody collisions and unnerving screams from multiple angles with a little bit of harmony thrown in just for fun. And, we played with a lot of bands, man, a lot of bands, holy buckets. We played with 36 Crazy Fists, American Head Charge, Cephalic Carnage, Dope, Origins, Internal Bleeding, Dog Fashion Disco, Into Eternity, 6 Feet Under, Vampire Moose, The Arcacia Strain, 3 Inches of Blood, Burn in Silence, Dead to Fall, 12 Tribes, Martyr AD, Bury Your Dead, goat whore, cattle decapitation. Oh my God, there are just so many underground bands and other bands that are now huge, you know. Not really going to go into those names because, well, the other ones are all bands you should maybe check out if you're a metalhead or if you like those heavy grooves. Let's see. Another interesting little quip that this same writer wrote about us was, trying to explain the music of Necktie Suicide is like putting a square peg into a round hole. It just isn't gonna happen. It's lush and melodic as it is brutal and intimidating, usually within the span of one song. It is justifiably right to accept that Necktie Suicide created a monster sound that is, of all things, original. That was also in 2005. You know, metal's a bitch. A stubborn, rigid creature that occasionally reproduces and spawns varying, we'll call it, subgenres. But it just hangs in front of you the possibility that something original might come from left field, so to speak. And I do believe that's what we were. We were original. We were some people would even say ahead of our time. I mean, if you look at the EP we released in 2006 called Bearing Witness to the Fall of Rome, I mean, what does that tell you? What that's what we're doing right now. We're bearing witness to the fall of yet another empire. Will it fall like Rome did? I don't think Nero's going to be sitting there playing a fiddle while it burns. I don't think it'll burn. But it's definitely changing, that's for sure. If I could give anybody any advice when it comes to playing music or doing what you want to do, oh man, just drown out everyone trying to tell you what to do. Just do your thing. You know, you may not get that record contract, and you may not, oh gosh, you know, but trust me, that ain't the goal. The goal is not to get a record contract. You don't want a record contract. There's a gentleman named John Lamb who writes for the Fargo Forum. And, we were in our local hometown newspaper a couple of different times. And his review of our first EP is just exactly what it is. It says, if you think a name like Necktie Suicide sounds harsh, listen to the Fargo Group's new EP, Bearing Witness to the Fall of Rome. The opener, Apologies Made Without Response, features more screams than a slaughterhouse, while tracks like Shiver and Blindfolded pound out hooks like a heavyweight grudge match. The 5-song CD isn't for everyone, and that's true, it's not. But in 25 minutes, the quintet crunches out a polished bit of heavy metal. And this was for our CD release show, which was, August 13th, 2005. We played with North Emerson, The Darwin Effect, and War on Earth at the American Legion downtown Fargo. God, it was crazy. Right before that, though, right before that CD release party, we were featured on the cover of the High Plains Reader magazine that is published every week right here in Fargo. Thousands of people read it. And, man, there's a certain amount of entertainment that comes along when you're, well, on the front page of it. Sitting on the steps of a Catholic church that all five members had, well, had all attended at one point in time. And a very long article written by a gentleman named Randy Schwartz, also known as Randall Black. And it's, you know, it's a very, very interesting article. I was 28 years old at the time, you know. You know, and at the time, I loved nothing more to strap on a snowboard and to dive bomb a hill, man. That was my life at 28. I was playing in a heavy metal band and riding a snowboard. While most of my compatriots or companions or people that I've known in my life were set in their careers and had been to college and already had kids. And, well, some say that that's the path to take, and other people, well, I'm here to tell you that take your own path, man. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Don't let someone else dictate your path in life. Dictate it yourself. So I'm just going through this, and yeah, so I'm at that age. My wife actually filled a scrapbook full of pictures and I wish you guys could see them. And, you know, for years we struggled with, good God, what to call ourselves, how to describe ourselves, how to, when people say, well, what kind of music is it? I could never fully give them an answer. It isn't for the faint of heart. It truly isn't. On our second album, we were no longer the same band. One of my best friends in the entire world, Justin Norris, who just got his PhD. Congrats, Dr. Norris, in political science. And his younger brother, Jared, is an accomplished chef out on the West Coast. So we had a little lineup change. And that's, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. This time, you know, it wasn't horrible. The only issue was I think maybe we should have just called ourselves a different name, but you can't really do that. I mean, you can, but then you have to start all over again, and maybe that's what we should have done, but who knows? you know. Our first album, we actually flew out to Oceanside, California, and recorded at DM Studios. We had a gentleman named Alexander Pappas do the engineering on it, who is the drummer or ex-drummer of a band called Finch. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Finch, but they were pretty big for a little while. And the studio we recorded at had so much history. So many bands recorded their first album there. You know, like Incubus, and like The Offspring, and like Blink 182, and oh my God, the list is just tremendously long of bands. Sublime, you know, who have recorded their first album in the studio. So it was like we were recording almost in a holy place. But anyways, that's for another time. So as we progressed, our sound did change. You know, we added Natanic, who for excuse me, years and years and years was a black metal kind of guy. And he's, well, not was, he is. He's a black metal dude. And he's playing with us, which is cool. It made us go from... It gave us more of a defined sound, which was nice. At that time, then we could call it loud, aggressive music. A hardcore rock and roll. And that's words out of the main man, Steve-O. Those are words out of his mouth. We're from Fargo, North Dakota. Five guys that just like to get up and get it done, have a good time, move on to the next one, you know. Oh man, there's so many people that helped us, it was amazing. I also met my wife during this time. That was awesome. So we replaced Jared, who played guitar with Natanic, or Nate. He will always be little Nate Peeler in my eyes. I've known him since he was just a wee little lad. He's not such a wee little lad anymore. It's kind of fun. And a gentleman named Eric Carlson to play the drums. The guy's got killer blast beats, so don't let that, you know. So like I said, the sound did change. But, you know, we had a lot of fun. You know, we played a lot of shows, man. A lot of shows. I'm going through this and looking at this and just the shows. And we're in 6-point font. Wow. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jesus, 7 pages long. Wow. Oh, you know, and well, and like everything, it all comes to an end eventually. And that's how you make the cover of your hometown newspaper. And you know, we played it at a place called The Venue. We've played so many shows, so many people in front of us. It's just, it's awesome, but it's nerve-wracking at the same time. August 23rd, 2009 is a day that brought us all back together. one of our roadies. His name is TJ. Had stage 4B, as in boy, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So we were fairly certain that was going to be, that we were never going to see our buddy TJ again. So we sent out the rally cry. And August 23rd, we had a benefit concert. Strong Like Bear, North Emerson, The Wrong Men, Green Fog, Vigilante. You know, we packed that place. We did, and it holds. Gosh. A couple thousand people? Anyways. We got to do a solid for someone who carried our gear for a number of years. And, yeah. It was awesome. You know, we touched people. We touched so many teenagers' lives just through lyrics and through helping them get their aggression out. And, you know, and we were brothers. Your absolute brothers. And, you know, so many adventures. So many adventures, like driving to Nebraska in a crappy van. That we sold to another local band and it broke down. We feel absolutely terrible about that still. But we can laugh about it now. You know, road trips to Kansas, road trips to, you know, get in the van, stupid, just like Henry Rollins said. Just get in the van. You know, you want to be a rock and roll star? You don't need a record contract. You just need to go do it, you know. You just need to go do it. And don't let anybody tell you that you can't do this. You know, if this is something you have passion for, go. Just go do it. Make your music. Let your soul just bleed and hang out. And because if you don't, it will make you go insane, and if you're left with that what if, you will never ever ever forget or forgive yourself for that what if. So to any aspiring musicians out there, just go do it. Have fun. Go hang out with your friends and get loud or get, I don't know, quiet or whatever you like to do. But just go out and do it. Make some noise. Make some ruckus. You know, music has done so much in this world and it's been dumbed down by so much stuff. And so many people and so many producers and just so much crap. You know, my band isn't a household name and it probably never ever will be. But you know what? I can say without a doubt that I've genuinely helped people standing on a stage. Not only other people, but also myself. Before I became a 41-year-old man, I was a very angry person. And when we would climb up on that stage, I had an outlet. I had an outlet. I could let it out. So if I was having a bad day, I could just grab that microphone and just let it out. Or I could grab that hand drum, because I would occasionally do that, and just let it out. You know, healthy aggression is good aggression. Okay? Letting that aggression out in a healthy way is never wrong, even if other people think it is. If someone doesn't understand, that's, well, they're not supposed to. So to anybody that's listening, we're going to sum this up. Do what makes you happy. Do your thing. Go out there. If you want to be a rock star, go be a rock star. You want to be a basketball player, or a minor league or major league, go do it. You want to start your own business, go do it. You want to just go. Do it. Create your impact and don't let anybody else tell you you're wrong. If you believe it in your heart, you can never be wrong. Have a fantastic day to whomever is listening to this.